All right, what's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to
the Pre-Dental Podcast.
Oh, boom. Yeah. Love to see it. So welcome back, everyone. This is our first episode of 2020.
So we did something new, and we really want you to check out our short audio clip that we did. I don't exactly know how long it is, but it's less than 10 minutes. It won't take you very long to listen. Gives you kind of some updates about what's going on with the PDP and with Marco and I.
Absolutely. Yeah, we just wanted to update everyone on our lives in general. Not necessarily our lives personally.
No.
But just what the PDP is going to be doing moving forward, because we wanted to make some personal changes, just as we hope that you all are hoping to improve your lives in 2020 as you had an awesome new year. And by the way, for everyone who needs to hear this, this is a new year. It's a new semester. So start out strong and stay on top of your studies, because you don't want to be in a month or two from now and realize that your life would have been a lot easier had you started right now.
Do you think that we need to take our own advice?
Probably.
Probably should start studying, but there's always next year, am I right?
There's always a podcast.
There's always a podcast. That's what I say. So, interesting life update here.
Right.
Big news.
It's been a great time to live in New Orleans.
Yeah, it really has been. LSU, as most of you know, won the national championship.
Over Clemson.
Over
with
Clemson.
With the Heisman winner.
With the Heisman winner.
The Joe Burrow.
In
also
New
goes
Orleans.
By a name that we're not going to say on this podcast.
We will not say that. You can Google it. What else do they call Joe Burrow?
But anyways, pretty much LSU won every award that you can think of. And another exciting thing is that Zion is back for the Pels tonight. I don't know how he's doing. They're actually playing right now as we record this.
Yeah, so I mean, that's extremely huge for the Pels, because they thought he was going to have a fantastic season, but he's been injured. So now he's coming back, and it's going to be huge.
He's like, what, 19 though? He's
it's
like extremely young,
insane.
Maybe 20. He's younger than both of us, that's for sure.
It makes me feel bad about myself when people that young are making millions of dollars and I'm recording a podcast in my garage.
There we go. Yeah, we had a little scenery change. You can't see us, but we are in the garage instead of in the kitchen where we normally are.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, really.
Yeah, it's a great time.
It's kind of cool.
So today's episode is... So, you got into dental school. Now what?
Dun, dun, dun.
So, you probably have a ton of different questions. I know that when Clayton and I both got in, we had no idea what was going on. You may be thinking, do I need to start studying? How can I best prepare? Where am I going to live? And we're going to answer all those questions and more.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go through all of that. But first things first, congratulations on getting in. That's huge. You have worked your entire life to get to this point. You should be celebrating, and everyone should be congratulating you, because it is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, get some dinner with some family and friends, take some time to relax, like really celebrate the accomplishment that you worked so hard for. I know that to get into dental school, you have to be, well, I wouldn't say you have to be, because Clayton and I sure weren't, but being an overachiever and always planning that next step.
Yeah.
But I don't really know how it happened for us. We kind of
I think we got kind of lucky there on that part. But we just worked hard in a different way.
Exactly. So take some time to celebrate and don't worry about the future all that much, because that leads us to our second point, which is chill out. You're into dental school. The pressure is off. Don't worry about it. Just take a deep breath and you're going to be okay.
Marco and I talked about this right before we started the podcast, and we were thinking about the things that we wish we would have done right before we came to dental school. I really wish I would have gone on a trip with my friends, because once you're in dental school, you're extremely busy. They're probably in school or working, so it's hard to coordinate your schedules. It's much easier to coordinate your schedule right now than it will be in the future. So go on a trip with your friends, hang out with your family, do something fun.
Right. And that kind of goes more towards our traditional students that are probably finishing up undergrad or took a gap year. But even if you have a family and you're starting dental school, heck, take your wife and kids and go on a trip somewhere. Just do something memorable that you can say, wow, I'm so happy that we did that right before dental school started. Just one last hurrah.
Yeah, and like Marco said, it's for traditional students. But if you're like me, I was a nurse right before I started dental school. So I took a month off of work just so I could get everything in line, so I could find a place to live, so I could get moved in, so I could have some fun. So do save up as much money as you possibly can, but try to take off and have a little bit of fun before you get started.
So, Clayton, they have studied all their way through undergrad. They've taken all their prerequisites. They studied super hard for the DAT. And now, obviously, dental school is going to be another beast. So, at what point do they need to start studying for dental school?
You need to start studying for dental school when your test is a week away in dental school. Don't start studying now. Please don't. I mean, so many people are like, do I need to start studying for morphology or do I need to start studying for gross anatomy? No, don't. Just, they're going to teach you everything you need to know when you get to dental school. Take some time off. You studied your butt off right now and, you know, for the past 4, 8, 12 years. So just take some time off from studying. When you come to dental school, get ready to study.
Right. That's what your prerequisites were for. So if you took all the prerequisite courses in dental school, then you are prepared for all the dental school classes. Like, that's everything that they expect you to know. So once you're in, they're going to teach you any additional information. So don't feel as though you need to go out of your way and start studying. Like, honestly, start studying after orientation week and once you actually have materials to study. Because honestly, you don't want to start studying something and then you get to school and they teach it to you differently and then you're having to reteach yourself, because that's just really confusing and honestly way too much work and goes directly against what advice we gave you less than 5 minutes ago, which is chill out, go hang out with your friends and do one big hurrah and don't worry about school yet.
And it's not because Marco and I didn't study hard or anything like that in undergrad. We worked hard to get where we are at, but we still had a good time getting here. So you can balance it, but you just need to find that right balance. We don't want y'all to think that we just lucked our way in here, because we both worked extremely hard to get where we are.
Right. Just know that you don't... So I will say this. If you are finishing your prerequisites, then get those done. Study hard for them and do well on them. Because I actually know a girl a couple years ago. I'm not going to say what school it was. But once she got accepted, she said, okay, I don't need to finish physics 2. I'm never going to use physics again, which, you know, is fine. You're probably not going to use it to the level that a physics 2 class is going to teach it to you. But she never completed the class. And lo and behold, June rolls around and they asked her for her final transcript. She sent it in and there was nothing that she could do at that point. There was no last minute summer class, and they actually made her reapply. Not only did they not give her, did they just push her spot to the next year, she had to completely reapply and pay for applications, re-interview, and explain the whole situation because she was too lazy to finish the one class.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. I met this guy last year, and his name rhymes with Larco. And the only class he had left was physics 2. And he kind of pushed that until the last minute too. But he got it done. He got it done. And he's here now. And we have a podcast. So
yeah, this podcast almost didn't exist. I partially give that advice because I definitely hit the buzzer beater. I mean, I was the last person in my class to submit all their paperwork and whatnot. And it was stressful. And, you know, you've spent the last 3-4 years stressing over so many different things that why do that to yourself one more time? You know, learn from my mistake of taking physics 2 at the very last minute. So finish your prerequisites and don't fail them, because if you can't remediate the course and you can't get that credit for it, then the school has every right to not accept you. And they're probably not. They can pull your acceptance for a variety of reasons, but the biggest one is not finishing your prerequisites.
And you don't have to worry about getting an A or anything like that. You know, if you have like biochem left or micro left or something like that, you don't have to worry about getting an A in it, but try at least. Like,
you know, I mean, shoot for a C, because then you might fail.
You might.
But I know several people, especially in our class, that made B's and C's their spring semester of undergrad, yeah. and it was fine because at that point they had been accepted.
Right. And another big stress that some people have when you come to dental school is where you're going to live. Because if you're like Marco and I, we're from an entirely different state. We're 8 hours away from where we grew up. So we kind of had to worry about where we're going to live. We don't know what the safest places in New Orleans are or anything like that. So how are you going to find out where to live?
Right. So first things first is if you're not in your class Facebook group and your class GroupMe, then you really need to go ahead and do that. I would reach out to current students and have them get you plugged in, or you can go on Student Doctor Network. There'll be like the official thread for the LSU School of Dentistry class of 2024. And then they're going to put a bunch of like asterisks and squiggly lines. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's like until they in Spanish, but like,
you can probably just search it on Facebook, honestly. Like,
yeah.
LSU dental class of 2023 or something like that and find it. So
right. If you search LSU class of 2023 for dentistry, you're probably going to find our class. You'll see us in the Facebook group.
That will be us.
And while you're on Facebook, why don't you go ahead and give us a like? It's The Pre-Dental Podcast. Just hit the like button there.
Just hit it.
And while you're there, watch our fun video.
It is hilarious.
It's when students get their loops. When students finally get their loops.
Yes.
Something like that.
You don't have to know what loops are to find it funny. Just watch it. It's hilarious. But anyway, so reach out to upperclassmen too, because sometimes like D4 students are going to be moving out of their houses that they've lived in for 4 years, and they may have a really good spot that you can move into. So don't be afraid to reach out to upperclassmen if you know them or anything like that.
And if their house isn't available, I can essentially guarantee that they can throw it in their GroupMe, and within an hour, someone's going to be like, yeah, like I'm looking for a roommate next year. Heck, we still have people in our class looking for roommates for next year.
Exactly.
Because they have, you know, maybe a 3-bedroom house and there's only 2 of them, or a 4-bedroom house and there's only 3 of them. And instead of assuming that cost, they would love to split it with someone. And there's several of our classmates that live with upperclassmates. Like I know Maddie lives with 2 D2s, and sometimes that can actually be really helpful because they can give you advice.
Extremely.
I love living with our classmates. I live with Clayton and then 2 other guys from our class, and it's been great. But if you're not from around the area and you don't know the area super well, talk to people that live in the city or that know the city. And the best way to do that is upperclassmen, because I know we personally were looking for a house, and we found one that we thought was a super great deal. You know, it was a nice house and it had a lot of good amenities, and the price was almost too good to be true. And it come was. To find out that, you know, there was a reason for that price. It was not a safe area at all. And if you're living in a big city, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. That's just kind of where it comes down to.
You are. It sucks. I mean, I'm from a small area and the rent was extremely cheap. Utilities were included. That kind of thing. It's not going to happen here. You know, it's not going to happen when you move to a bigger city or anything like that. Because I remember like looking on Zillow or Realtor.com, and we would find these awesome houses. And then like Marco and I had visited New Orleans and we kind of knew what areas were good and which ones weren't. And then we realized why the prices were so good for those houses. So if you're close enough to be able to visit the area, go ahead and visit it. But I mean, there's some people in our class that are from New Hampshire and Idaho and California. They weren't able to do that. So they had to solely rely on upperclassmen leading them in the right direction. And they're not going to steer you in the wrong direction. They don't want you to live in a unsafe area and die. So, I mean, they're not going to steer you in a bad direction.
Right. Fun fact of the day, there has never been a dental student at LSU that has died due to violence during their time here. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a fact that Dr. Sheremy had shared with us.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a really good one, right?
That's really...
So
that's solid.
Anyways, go Tigers. So, yeah, go visit the area if you can. But you may be thinking, oh my goodness, well, if I'm going to have to pay a higher price for housing, then how am I going to pay for it?
So that's a big question that I had coming in, because I didn't have to take out loans in undergrad. So I didn't even know how the loan process worked, how you took out loans, who to contact, how much I was going to get, how much the interest rate was, if I'm going to have to start paying interest now, yada, yada, yada. So the big thing with financial aid, if you have super specific questions, you can contact the financial aid office at that dental school. But we're going to give you some general numbers and things like that just so you have an idea of what to expect.
Right. And also the school, once you're accepted, I would say for us, it was mid-February. Once most of the class is assembled, they're really going to start sending out a lot of paperwork and information. And that that talks about some things that we'll talk about later in this podcast, but a lot of it does have to do with financial aid. So the first thing first is getting your FAFSA completed. And you need to do that by April 15th. If you don't do it by April 15th, they cannot guarantee that your loans will be processed on time like your classmates. But as long as you get it done by that deadline, you're good to go.
And you do not want that to happen. You don't want to be, you know, having your rent due in a month and you're not getting your loans because you don't have any money when you should have completed your FAFSA early. So go ahead and get that done. Don't procrastinate getting your FAFSA done. And we kind of talked about this earlier, but if you have the opportunity to make money before school, do it. You know, like enjoy yourself and everything. But if you have a job that makes, you know, decent money, go ahead and make that money, save it up, put it in a hole somewhere, I don't know, just so you don't spend it. So you do have a little bit of spending money while you're in school.
Because here's what I'm going to say. First semester of dental school is by far the most expensive because you have to buy all your equipment. You have to buy your school issued laptop. You have all these additional fees. You have the cost of moving yourself and all your property down here. It just comes out to a lot more. And because of that, your refund is not as much in the fall as it is the spring. I know myself personally, we'll get to this in a minute, but I took out the Federal Direct Unsubsidized Loan and I maxed that one out. And then I also maxed out my Grad Plus loan. And I received, I want to say a little over $10,000 in the fall. And that was for all my living expenses. And I'm in the National Guard, so it works a little bit differently, but we'll talk about that in a different episode. But here in the spring, I received over $20,000 because that missing $10,000 from the fall went towards all my supplies, all my equipment rentals, my laptop, everything that you can think of. So you're not going to have as much money.
And that's how it's going to be just after that first semester. So like from here on out, it's pretty much cheaper than it was that first semester. So just get through that first semester, save up your money the best you can. It's going to be okay. So like Marco was saying, he took out two different loans. So there's two different loans that there's actually three different, but we'll talk about the first two first. So there's two major ones that you can take out while in dental school. The Federal Direct Unsubsidized Loan, which is $45,000 max per year. And the interest rate it's pretty bad. It's 6.08%. That's steep. And the bad thing about that is it's not like how it is in undergrad where your interest doesn't start accruing until you graduate. This interest starts accruing immediately. So right when you get that money, it starts accruing interest. I don't know how much interest I've already accrued. I think it's something terrible like I'm trying to do something different where I pay my interest every month and I pay like $80 a month in interest. That way it doesn't continue to compound and add on each other. And so I'm not $4 million in debt when I get out, but
it's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've been trying to do. Just that way it doesn't build up. And that's something you can think about doing too. If you have some money saved up, look into, you know, taking out the minimal amount of loans you can and then paying on your interest every month. That way it doesn't add up.
Right. But I will say this as well, is that some people think they need to save up enough money to cover their first semester's rent or things like that. And yes, having a nice piggy bank would be good, but ultimately you're going to have to take out the loans, whether that's through family members or through the federal government. I will say most people choose the federal government because, I mean, I don't think my family would have $50,000 plus a year just to loan out to me.
Right.
When I have other options available. So when you graduate from dental school, you're immediately within the top 10% of the country in earnings. So you're going to have a stable income to pay back your loans. So don't be afraid to take the loans out. You know, you don't want to put yourself in a tough spot where you can't pay rent and it's the middle of the semester and you don't know what to do. And continuing, the second loan is the Federal Direct Plus loan, which is also known as the Grad Plus loan. And that interest rate is a little bit higher. It's at 7.08%. So that is not fun. But that allows you to borrow up to the cost of attendance, which is determined by your school.
So that's going to cover everything you need. So that with your cost of attendance, they factor in, you know, living, eating, all of that. So you're not going to go hungry. So, I mean, you're going to have enough money to eat. You're going to have enough money to pay your rent and everything like that. So don't stress about, you know, like running out of money and having to beg on the streets for money. It's going to be fun. And even if you're having to take out that money and you're having this interest rate and it's accruing, blah, 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 you're going to make a lot of money as a dentist. So it's going to be okay in the end. It just kind of sucks right now that you're going to be in this much debt, but don't let that stress you out. We're just trying to give you an idea of kind of what it's like.
Yeah. And I'm not saying go through your money and spend as much as you can, because I mean, we had some classmates that did that. And, you know, towards January, when we were waiting on those loans to kick, they were really scraping by, you know, one guy had $12 in his checking account.
They so regretted it, because you have to remember that first semester, there's like Christmas and stuff like that. And you still want to buy Christmas presents. So you need to learn how to budget your money, look into downloading like a budgeting app or do an Excel spreadsheet, something like that, just so you have an idea of how much you're spending and set a budget for yourself every month.
Right. So, Clayton, are there any scholarships available?
Oh, man. Not a whole lot. So there's, you know, different grants and things out there. There's the National Guard, those sorts of things. But there's not scholarships like necessarily like there are in undergrad. I know there's some dental schools out there who do provide scholarships to students if you score high enough on your DAT, if you're a super competitive applicant or something like that. Most dental schools don't. So, you know, it's not like scoring a 36 on your ACT where you get full school paid for and everything like that. Like, you're probably going to have to take out loans. You know, there's not a whole lot of scholarship options out there.
Right. So, just being blunt about it, suck it up, buttercup. It's going to be okay.
Like, yep.
You are going into a profession where the job security, I would argue that we probably have some of the best job security in the nation.
Oh, absolutely.
By far. I know there's dental clinics in every state that are looking to hire.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a great profession. You should not worry about being in debt, because it's going to pay off in the end. You have to spend money to make money right now. And it's going
to
be
fun. It's a great way to put it. So, switching gears a little bit here, and we're not going to harp on this one too much, but use common sense. So you're in dental school and you start within the next 6 to 7 months. So don't make any decisions that are going to jeopardize your ability to attend dental school. So that can be a wide variety of things. Like, I think we covered this one earlier, but don't fail your prerequisite classes, because if you can't make that up before the time of matriculation, then you're kind of out of luck.
Exactly. Just don't do stupid things and you're fine. I mean, it's just, like we said, it's common sense stuff that you just shouldn't do. Like failing your prereqs, drunk texting the dean, or, you know, like posting some stupid video and it goes viral, and it, you know, just make solid decision and you're going to be fine.
Right. You know, keep your health in check. You know, don't do anything that would jeopardize your health or your physical well-being. You know, if you break both your hands, I don't know how you would do that without...
Saw off your arm or something like that. Just don't do that.
Right. And I know accidents happen, but just be careful. But anyways, so I said we weren't going to talk about that for too much. So we're going to pivot to our question of the day, and it comes from Lynn in Louisiana. Clayton, what is that question?
Lynn says, I got waitlisted. Should I send the school any updates or a letter of intent? ?
Yes, question mark is very important, because it is a question.
It is a question of the day.
So, Lynn, I would say yes, you can if you're super interested in that school. I definitely wouldn't bug them, because it's still... So right now it's the middle of January, so it's a little bit early, I would say. They've probably sent out their second and maybe third round of acceptances, but there's still plenty of time to fill the class. Like, I know we keep referencing LSU, but that's where we go. But LSU hasn't completely filled the class yet, so they're still figuring out who's going where. So I wouldn't contact the school every day. I wouldn't call them every day. If you are going to contact the school, then you need to contact the school. Don't have your parents contact the school, because that just looks childish.
Marco does give solid advice, but he doesn't know what it's like, Lynn. Lynn, you and I have a special bond because, like you, I too was on the wait list. And it's nerve-wracking and it's terrible and it's awful. But what I did, and looking back at it, I don't know if it was the best thing for me to do or not, but what I did, I emailed the dean just to say, you know, thank you for this, you know, at least putting me on the wait list. At least it wasn't a full rejection or anything like that. Looking back at it, I probably should have waited, you know, just a little bit, wait a month or so. But I would at least email them and just say, yes, I am interested still. You know, this is what's going on. This is what I'm going to be working on. Do you have any suggestions for me? That way it just leaves it open. And they'll usually email you back. But like Marco said, don't let your mom or cousin or the president of the United States or the governor or anything like that try to help get you in or contact them, because they're not going to like that. So just reach out to them, but don't bug them, because that's just really irritating and you're really not going to get in then.
Yeah, so, you know, just don't annoy them. That's kind of the end of it. Again, use common sense.
It all goes back to common sense.
So once you're in, so going to our next set of advice here, what the school is going to need you to do is going to be set out in clear instructions. So I can almost guarantee this is going to include getting a physical done, sending in your shot records, getting a TB test, CPR certification. Like, if your school needs you to do something, they're going to let you know. They're going to send you emails about it and they're going to bug you until it gets done.
And a weird thing that LSU sent us, and I think a lot of other schools send this out too, is you have to collect teeth, which is kind of a weird thing, but we had to collect a quart-sized jar of teeth. And some of y'all have already known about this, so you're just going to be taking like quart-sized jars to different dental offices and just, you know, saying, hey, you know, I just need to collect some teeth. Will y'all collect some teeth for me? So it's just different weird things like that, just random things that you need to get taken care of and you don't need to procrastinate. Because I, again, this other guy that I know, his name rhymes with Darko, he kind of procrastinated getting his teeth and now he's in dental school having to bum teeth off of other people.
Yeah, which is pretty sad considering the fact that I worked for an oral surgeon for 2 years.
It's fine.
I don't have teeth, but I have a lot of really good friends that
exactly
have a lot of teeth.
And it's fine. I worked so hard at getting teeth. Like, I contacted so many offices to just get teeth. But anyway, I'm harping on teeth right now. But
I know. I was about to give some teeth advice.
Seriously, my
okay,
gosh.
If a dental office gets you teeth, give them some chocolate or something, or at least write like a thank you letter.
Yeah.
Like, don't just take the teeth and run, because that's rude. And one day you're going to come back and be like, hey, can I have a job? And they're going to be like, oh, you took the teeth and you didn't get the
exactly.
chocolate. Like, you do not understand how much front desk ladies and the back staff love chocolates, sweets, donuts. Like, get them a dozen donuts for like $10 and they will think you are super great. And hey, you never know when you're going to need a letter of recommendation or you're going to need someone to vouch for you in a weird situation. Like, it just happens. But yeah, that guy that Clayton was talking about, that may or may not be me, he definitely put everything off until the last second. Honestly, the big reason why we're making this podcast is so that I can send it back in time so me a year ago can listen to it and be like, oh, like, don't do exactly what you did.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like by the grace of God that I'm still here. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm very surprised, honestly. I'm very surprised. But be sure to get your stuff done. Get your physical, get your shot records, get your TB test, get your teeth, get your CPR certification. Just do it. But don't fret about what you need to get done, because they are going to email you. They're going to tell you exactly what you need to do.
Hi, my name is Clayton. Fret not, young one.
Fret not, for I am old and wise.
Clayton is very old.
Oh,
I don't know about wise, but...
friend, hate this guy.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Also, if you have questions, just call the school. Like, you're in at this point. They're not going to be like, oh, this kid's super annoying. They might think that, but like, hey, you're in. It doesn't matter. So, the next question is, can you have a pet?
If I did not have Winifred, I would have already failed out of dental school. I can guarantee you that. So yes, of course you can have a pet. But if you don't have a pet right now, you need to get the pet right now. That way they can be potty trained. That way you can adjust your life to it. You don't want to move to dental school and then get a pet like a week before you start.
Right. There's another guy. His name is also Marco, and he's like super involved in ASDA, and he actually wrote an entire article which is free and accessible to all dental students and pre-dental students, but especially if you are an ASDA member, which I highly advocate for. But anyways, I wrote everything that you need to know about getting a dog in dental school.
Oh my gosh. So one time, there's this guy, and his name rhymes with Sarko, and we're like a month into dental school, and he decides to bring his dog named Stella to dental school. And that's fine. Winifred needs a friend. She's very lonely. She needs somebody to play with. Well, Sarko didn't realize that. I'm trying to think of a name that I should call her. We'll just call her Stella. He didn't realize how Stella wasn't that potty trained. So she had a little bit of a curve. Sarko's roommates got really mad at him and almost kicked him out.
Yeah. They were really good at hiding their anger, but I could tell.
So just know that it's going to be a lot of work. I mean, if you do have a pet, because you have to think about taking them on walks. If you're in class all day, you need to come home and let them out of their kennels or their crates so they don't tear up the house and pee or poop everywhere. And if you decide to be really involved and go on trips and things like that, then you have to, you know, worry about arrangements for where they're going to stay and everything.
Wow, that's a lot of information. I wish someone would have wrote an article about everything that you're talking about.
Break.
What to know about owning a dog in dental school.
Nobody wants to read. They want to listen to this.
That's true. So, talking about companions here, but on the human side of things.
Yes.
Should I break up with my significant other? If I had one.
Oh! I put that question very bluntly. So, unlike Marco, women actually like me. So, I do have a girlfriend. I've had a girlfriend for over 50 years. No, I'm just kidding. I've had a girlfriend for over like a year and a half now. And so, before I moved here, I lived in Arkansas, of course. And we had been dating for like 6 months before I moved here. And we had never done long distance. So if you haven't done long distance with the person, don't break up with them, but just prepare them and let them know that dental school is going to take a lot of time and you may not be able to visit that often. Emily's done really great at, you know, taking time out of her schedule to come visit me. And when I have free time, I go and visit her. But just prepare them and let them know that it's going to be a huge time commitment so they know what they're getting into.
Yeah, I mean, there's people in our class that have dated people for 2 and 3 years and they're just now breaking up.
Yeah,
unfortunately. Sad. But I will say part of that just comes from the fact that when you're in dental school, you grow so much. Like, I thought I was pretty mature getting out of undergrad, which is a complete and horrible joke. And, you know, I will say that I've matured a lot in dental school. I'm not at the point of being an adult yet, nor will I ever reach that point.
I don't
really
think so, no.
But we're getting there. And I think if you find someone, and this is me like kind of talking just from seeing Clayton and Emily's relationship, but if you find someone that is very understanding and supports you in your endeavors and really loves you for who you are, then, I mean, honestly, I think you and Emily make it look pretty easy.
I appreciate that.
And you guys live, what, 7-8 hours apart?
Yeah, it sucks. It's terrible.
But, I mean, you do a lot of phone calls, FaceTime, texting, and when you're with the right person, you understand that it's not forever.
Right.
You know, I mean, she's moving down here this summer, which is going to be exciting.
And that's what you have to tell yourself. You just have to realize that it's not forever. And it's really brought Emily and I closer because we cherish the time that we have with each other. When she does come visit or when I go visit, we cherish it so much more. So it's actually brought us closer than we ever have been. So it's actually been a really good thing and really strengthened our relationship. So, short answer, don't break up with them, but just prepare them for what the ride is going to be like.
Yeah, it's a serious conversation that you need to have, but it's not the end of the world. So, thinking of the future, though, should I specialize?
I have no clue, and I'm in dental school right now. So, you don't have to know if you want to specialize when you come in here. I don't know what I want to do. So just come in with an open mind. Don't worry about it right now. Just Just get here.
Yeah, seriously. Just your first year should be just devoted to trying to make the best grades that you possibly can. You don't need a 4 point to specialize, but the schedule only gets harder as time goes on. So if you can get it done early on, then that's going to help you. And if you don't, that's okay. I know I had a bit of an adjustment period getting into dental school, and classes really threw me off that first round of tests, but it's okay. I mean, if specializing is something, okay, so coming straight out of dental school and into a specialty program is not the only way to get into it. So it's kind of like people that do undergrad, and then maybe their undergrad statistics weren't quite good enough, or life just had different plans for them for a couple years. Maybe they're like Clayton and they work for a couple years, or they go back and do a master's program or go do some research. So all of that can happen after dental school, or you could just end up straight into a specialty program after dental school. But here's the thing, you haven't even started dental school yet. So don't worry about it. You can have a general idea. Like, I know I worked in an oral surgeon's office for 2 years, so oral surgery is definitely something that I'm leaning towards, but I've yet to experience any endo or right, perio. Like, exactly. I've never even shadowed a periodontist.
Right.
I got exposed to prosthodontics in morphology. I'm going to try and shadow Dr. Esquivel this semester just because I knew literally nothing about it, and I think it's so interesting. You'll have more than enough time to decide what you want to do when you're in school. So seriously, don't worry about it. Don't stress. Just do your best, and the school will guide you through that process.
Exactly. And if you're interested in something, feel free to reach out to a faculty member when you get to dental school. Say, hey, can I come shadow you sometime? Do you know someone I could come shadow? Because they are more than welcome, more than willing to help you out. They want you to succeed, and they want you to be where you want to be. So another big question I had coming in, Marco had coming in, pretty much everybody has coming in, and it's our last question is, am I going to be able to go to weddings or other events while I am in dental school?
And the answer is yes and no. And I hate to put it like that, but it really is just the luck of the draw.
It really is. So there's some classes and some professors that, you know, if you have an exam on that day when your best friend's getting married, they're going to allow you to make up that exam. You know, they're understanding of that. But then we have other classes, and you might only have that class once a month, and you can't miss it. Like, that's the only class that month. You have to be there. It's mandatory. There's no getting around it. There's no makeup.
Right.
So if that wedding happens to land on, you know, one of those classes that you can do a makeup exam, that's great. But if it lands on one of those mandatory classes, eek. Maybe they can, like, FaceTime you when they're getting married or something like that.
Right. You know, and if there's a death in the family or a serious traumatic thing, and I unfortunately really hate to say it, but like, there's been stuff in our class that's happened already.
Right.
Just really sad things where the dental school has been more than understanding. Listen, once you're in the school, they want you to succeed. They want you to graduate. They want you to do well. And if something comes up that's going to inhibit that, then they want to work with you and they want you to succeed. But if it's just a wedding, then yeah, you probably need to schedule something around that, or you might not get there on time. But
right.
I mean, like, even if it's a really cool opportunity, if it's not, I would pretty much say if it's not a death in the family or a life-threatening situation, then it's the luck of the draw. And like, some classes you can make up, but it's just going to be really hard. So I know in anatomy, you know, we take our practicals, we walk around the cadaver lab, and we have to write down what the pins are. And if you miss that practical, then our professor takes you in one-on-one with the cadavers, and he will literally just point to a random part that was on the exam, and you just have to verbally say it off the top of your head. Like, you don't really get time to think about it and compare it to the other ones. He's just going to arbitrarily point to it, and you have to know it. But, you know, that's outlined in the syllabus, so you can't argue against it.
Exactly. So yes, you are going to still be able to have a social life outside of school. They still want you to have a social life outside of school, but you have to understand that school does come first. You're paying a lot of money to be here, so of course they want you to be here, and it's very important that you are.
You know, some, and if it's like a clinic day or something, you might be able to switch
right
with someone. Like, I know I'm having to do that. I have a drill for the Army in 2 weeks, but I also have clinic that afternoon on Friday, but I need to drive to Arkansas. So I'm just going to switch with someone, thankfully. And things like that, it's okay. Like once you have a better understanding of your schedule and you're in, you'll be able to tell, okay, I can have an absence in this class. And, you know, I talked to my professor and it's not going to be a big deal if I miss that day, but by God, if I miss that one test, then I fail the class. Yeah. And, you know, I don't recommend failing your classes in dental school. Not.
And you need to look at your schedule ahead of time. So kind of have a general idea of dates that, you know, you need to miss. Like my sister is graduating in May. So I had that date planned out. I had my class schedule and I've gone ahead and, you know, made arrangements with those professors. That way it's already planned out and it's not last minute.
So, yeah, school comes first, but you can still have a social life. So we're going to conclude with our advice from a current dental student, and that comes from our classmate, Elena.
And our good friend, Elena. So Elena says, stay calm, even if you feel like, you know, a test didn't go well, an exam didn't go well, whatever didn't go well, just stay calm. You can always recover, and grades aren't the end of the world.
Right. You know, once it's done, and you just got to look forward to the future versus dwelling on your current situation.
Exactly. It's all going to work out. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Enjoy the ride.
So we want to thank you all for listening. We're so happy to be back here in 2020.
We really are. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, subscribe to us on iTunes and Spotify.
And YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. We have an awesome video on
Big
there.
YouTube guys. Big YouTube guys.
Huge.
Here. Watch us take a bath in the bathtub.
Baths are important in dental school.
Amen.
But anyways, this is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast.
Boom. Oh, yeah.